Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We are appreciative of your tuning in, and we hope that you listen for the duration of the program. We intend to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. But if any time you have a comment or a question about something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to spend time and study on the program, please feel free to contact us at the address given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. Also, tonight at 8 o'clock on this radio station, WBSA, Bible Crossfire will air. Patrick Donahue conducts a live radio program. It gives you the opportunity to call in Bible questions that you might have. He will give you his number that you can call and talk to him directly, live and in person, and you can give him your Bible question. And in return, expect to receive a Bible answer. That's tonight, 8 o'clock, on this radio station, both AM and FM, Bible Crossfire. If you are unable to pick up this radio station, then if you have satellite radio capability, at 8 o'clock tonight, you can tune in to channel 131 on XM satellite radio and hear the program as well. So keep this in mind tonight at 8 o'clock. You know, God has specific rules and responsibilities for each member of the family. The Father is the spiritual leader. He's the provider. He is the protector. We know that when we read such passages as 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. It's in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, that we read these words in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. And then in the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians, we read in verse 4, you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. The mother adds tender affection as she responds to the needs of her family, and she works to make the house a home. We read of what's referred to quite often as the virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31. We don't have time to read all of that chapter, but hopefully at some point this will stick in your mind and you'll have an opportunity to read Proverbs 31. And you'll see the kind of woman that is portrayed in those verses. Also, it's in Titus chapter 2. We read these words in verse 4. Older women are to admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. The parents make the rules, and they enforce the discipline. The proverb writer says in the 29th chapter of Proverbs these words in verse 17. He says, correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. Children are to respect parental authority. We saw that just a moment ago in reading Ephesians 6 and verse 4 concerning the fathers. But if we go back to verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So we see then also another passage. Look at Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, which is actually where Ephesians 6 and verse 1 is quoted from. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And one other passage in Proverbs, this time, let's look at the 23rd chapter. Verse 22 says, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. So children are to respect this parental authority, and it's up to the parents to be active and make sure that they do. But you know, when these roles are respected, a strong family picture is what we have. This doesn't argue perfection, for as long as people make up the home, then there are going to be struggles. But God sets the ideal standard, and we work and we keep on working to fulfill His will. You know, too, the Bible pulls no punches as it reveals families who struggled because of role reversals. When the father is passive, the mother is domineering, and the children are allowed to thumb their noses at authority, a dysfunctional home will be the result. And you know, certainly nothing brings God more glory than when each family member applies His truths. On the other hand, nothing dishonors God more than when we ignore His will in our homes. And such was the case of an incident that we read about in 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapters 1, 2, and 3 is where we go to meet this dysfunctional family. The father's name was Eli. Unfortunately, we do not have mention made of the mother. And because of Eli's position of influence, chapter 1 and verse 9 tells us that he was both a priest, and chapter 4 and verse 18 of 1 Samuel says that he was a judge. So, because of his positions of influence, his family was well known among God's people. Excuse me. Eli had two sons. One was Hophni and the other was Phinehas. We read about this in chapter 1 of 1 Samuel in verse 3, when it said, the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. Following in their father's footsteps, they served as priests. And yet, they lacked any ounce of moral character. Notice the statement made in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. You see, think about it. Is it possible for spiritual leaders to raise children who know about the Lord, but yet never know the Lord? Well, obviously so, because here we see an example of it. Eli's sons were scandalous and their approach to the priesthood. Look at what we find recorded in 1 Samuel, the second chapter, as we look at beginning verse 13. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come with a three-pronged flesh hook in his hand while the meat was boiling. Then he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, and the priest would take for himself all that the flesh hook brought up. So they did in Shiloh to all of the Israelites who came there. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the men who sacrificed, give meat for roasting to the priest, for he will not take boiled meat from you, but raw. So we see here what was to be done. But in verse 17, look what we read. Therefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. In other words, what God had commanded Israel to do, they had to come before these priests to do it. But yet these sons were so scandalous in the performing of their duty that this made the people not want to come and do what God would require of them to do. They were irreverent. In verse 22, look what we read about them. Now Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So they were immoral, and they were openly rebellious. Look at verse 25. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father, because the Lord desired to kill them. So we see then, you know, you would think that a godly priest would automatically raise godly children. And that may have been what Eli thought too. But the truth is, godly children don't happen by accident. We see that when we read Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, and verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Even the children of spiritual leaders, this verse applies to as well. Children have to be trained. Perhaps we should say, especially the children of spiritual leaders. But you know, there's a thing that happens so often, and that is ignoring the warning signs. The immoral reputation of Eli's sons were widespread. While their father was losing his eyesight due to age, and we read about that in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 2, he yet was not blind to their shenanigans. 1 Samuel chapter 2 tells us in beginning with verse 23. Now Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel, and how they lived with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So he said to them, "Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings with all the people. No, my sons, it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress." So you see, Eli knew. In fact, God even sent an unnamed prophet to confront Eli about his sons. As we look at 1 Samuel 2 and drop down to verse 27, it says, "Then a man of God came to Eli and said to him." So again, we don't know who this individual is, but we know that God sent this prophet to confront Eli about his sons. "Why did you kick at my sacrifices and at my offerings and honor your sons above me?" See, that's what verse 29 says. And so, let's just read all of it. "Why did you kick at my sacrifices and my offering, which I commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me, to make yourselves fat with the best of all of the offerings of Israel, my people?" See, God announced that if Eli didn't do something about his boys, that he would. Drop on down to 1 Samuel 2, and let's look at verse 34. "Now this shall be a sign to you that will come upon your two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them." So we see then that God announced that if Eli didn't do something, here's what's going to happen. In fact, God even spoke through Samuel, that young man that Eli was sort of fostering. Notice in chapter 3 when God speaks to Samuel about this situation with Eli. In chapter 3, verse 11, Then the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do something in Israel, at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I've spoken concerning his house from beginning to the end. For I've told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. You see, that 13th verse pretty much tells it all. I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. Eli knew about their sinful lifestyle, and yet, as the New King James says, he did not restrain them. As one of the translations says, he did not rebuke them. Hophni and Phinehas were stealing. They were committing fornication. And what was Eli's response to this scandalous reputation of his boys? Well, we read it a moment ago back in chapter 2 and verse 24. No, my sons, for the report is not good, which I hear. That's it. He slapped their hands, and he looked the other way. You ever see an example of an individual, a parent, being passive toward their children? Here is an example of it. We can label that passive parenting. Had Eli taken the law of Moses seriously, he would have been more diligent, absolutely. In fact, go back to the book of Deuteronomy, which of course was the law that Eli lived under. In Deuteronomy 21, let's notice what verses 18 through 21 says. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother will take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city. And they shall say to the elders of his city, This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all of the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. So this was the law that was in effect at the time that Eli lived. Had Eli taken the law of Moses seriously, he surely would have been more diligent. What this passage here in Deuteronomy, it doesn't speak of a child who just merely disobeys, but references an incorrigible one. One who repeatedly shows no respect for authority or discipline. What we're dealing with here in Deuteronomy is one that becomes a menace, and he becomes a threat to others, just exactly like the sons of Eli. Well, how did it happen? Well, Eli paid more attention to his profession than to his family. That's one way that it could have happened. It's easy to do. Although Eli recognized the voice of God, I wonder if he recognized as easily the voice of his own sons when they were young. There was one commentator that wrote, Hophni and Phinehas were the only children in Israel who saw the temple every day and paid no attention to it. And you know, sadly, I can only imagine that there are a lot of preachers' kids, even elders' kids, of whom the same thing could be said about today. Another thing that could have happened is Eli refused to discipline them. Perhaps he rationalized away their bad behavior until it was too late. The passage in Proverbs addresses this in Proverbs chapter 19. Look at what the first part of verse 18 says. Chasten your son while there is hope. You see, as parents, we have only a certain amount of time that we can instill in our children the things that need to be instilled in them and for them to grasp it and to accept it. If we wait too late and try to instill these things in them, then it's just exactly that. It's too late. So I believe that such serves as a twofold warning to parents. First of all, take discipline seriously. And second of all, start it early. Again, the Proverb writer says in Proverbs chapter 29 these words. Verse 15 says, "The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." That was verse 15. Now let's drop down to verse 17. "Correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul." Another thing in answer to the question of how did it happen is that Eli failed to hear the warning from others. See, God has a way of bringing sight to the blind, and I'm using that figuratively. Sometimes we as parents are blind to the things that our children are and the things that our children do. It may be a teacher, it may be a police officer, or it may be an elder of the church who musters the courage to speak the truth to us about our children. Well, will we listen? Or will we join the chorus that, you know, it must be somebody else's fault? You see, at some point, Eli's sons pulled the wool over their father's eyes. And yet, no, let us know and realize they never pulled the wool over God's eyes. In the book of Numbers, it's in chapter 32 that we read these words in verse 23. "But if you do not do so, then take note. You have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." But you know, this thing about dysfunctional families, it doesn't happen overnight. It's a downward spiral that takes its place in small steps. If it could happen to this family that we've studied about in our time today, the one that we studied about in 1 Samuel chapter 1, 2, and 3, the family of a high priest of Israel in the days of Moses. If it could happen to that family, friends, it can happen in our families. Remind ourselves of what God told Eli in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 29. "You honor your sons above me." You see, once that step is taken, then the rest of what's going to happen becomes on too predictable. So let's take heed to what we see and understand that here is what we have seen is the how to go about raising a dysfunctional family. And friends, there's too many of those families in the world today, in our nation, in the church, in the community in which we live. There's too many of these. And it's all because of the same essential elements that we've studied about in 1 Samuel chapters 1, 2, and 3. In just 30 minutes from now, the East Albertville Church of Christ, we'll come together at 9:30 for a period of Bible study. There will be Bible classes and classes for different ages. So we urge you to come, to bring your children, to bring yourself, to bring your Bibles, and intend and expect to only study what God's Word teaches. At 10:30, an hour after the Bible study begins, we will all assemble together in the main auditorium. We will sing songs of praise and honor to God. We will sing with the spirit and with the understanding, and it will be congregational singing because the Bible says that we're to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3 and verse 16. We will pray. We will, because it is the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, we will partake of the Lord's Supper, wherein we will eat of unleavened bread, that is the representation of Jesus' body that was hung on the cross. We will drink of the cup, that is the fruit of the vine, which is a representation of his blood that he shed, that blood through which washes away our sins. Being too the first day of the week, as Christians, we will lay by in store as God has prospered. And we will hear God's word being taught. This is exactly the pattern that we see of the early church when it first was established in Acts 2. It says in verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the fellowship, in breaking the bread, and in the apostles' doctrine and in prayer. So that's what we will do, and we will urge you to come. And if you come, examine everything you see and everything you hear based upon what God's Word teaches. And also, let's remind you that tonight at 8 o'clock, Bible Crossfire, Patrick Donahue will conduct a live call-in radio program. He will give you a phone number, and you can call in a Bible question that you have. And when you do so, expect in return to receive only a Bible answer. That's tonight at 8 o'clock on WBSA, AM and FM. And again, if you're not in the coverage area and have satellite radio, you can pick up the station on the program, rather, on channel 131 on Sirius XM. Friends, we appreciate so much you listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. And it's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day, and we now return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.